So we've been doing a little series, and we're currently looking at some of the practices as Christians that we do and considering how they feed into our walk with God and the positive benefits that they produce in our lives. And so far, Stephen has spoken on awe and contentment, and last week, Julie spoke on gratitude. And this week, I get to speak on praise. So there we go. When I'm given a topic to speak about, the first question that I have is, do I understand the topic? And what is it that the person asking me to speak is hoping that I will bring out? And also what is going to be heard by what I say. And in the case of praise, I must admit that on surface, I think it seems pretty straightforward. Most of us, if you've been around church for any length of time, it's something that's part of our what we do. And it seems, as I say, fairly straightforward. I mean, the Bible has a lot to say about praise. And if you read the Psalms, that's pretty much where the Psalms are at. And it has like where to praise, why we praise, who we praise to. It's all pretty much in there. And on a Sunday, we tend to sing a lot of Psalms. A lot of the what we sang this morning was actually, a lot of it's found in the Psalms and is around praise to God. So far, it's kind of like easy. You don't need to hear a sermon on praise. So I'll sit down. No, I'm not. I'm not actually going to do that. I mean, the Bible talks about. I'm actually going to move down here. Sorry, I am going to do it because I can't read at an angle. So the Bible talks about let everything that has breath praise him. It talks about praising him for his wondrous deeds. It talks about praising him with singing. It talks about praising him with dance. It talks about praising him with every instrument. And it kind of like, as I say, it's fairly straightforward, isn't it? And it's something that we do fairly comfortable with, and we, you know, we do it. Why do we do it? Why do we praise? Well, I'm looking at anybody that feels like they can answer. He's worthy of praise. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, that's
my focus, right? Who God is and who I'm not.
I think sometimes it's important to question why we do what we do. I mean, for instance, we are told that if we, and told, note the word, we're told, that if we exercise, that's good for us. Isn't it? We're told that. And most of us do try to do, at least make sure that we get out of bed in the mornings, don't we? No. Depends. But we do try to do that. I mean, Julie was really excited the other day because her phone told her that she had walked 400 steps. The fact that her phone was in the car going up the hills, up into the hills and making it read 4,000 steps has nothing to do with anything. But you were pleased, weren't you? I did 4,000 steps. All right. But so we all know that we should exercise. But then what happens is you kind of like might sit and watch a Discovery Channel or something like that, and you'll come across a scientist or a doctor showing you kind of like what it does to your heart when you exercise, what it does to your mental health, what actually goes on in your capillaries when you exercise. And you go, oh okay, I can see that. But often we don't do that necessarily in church. I mean, we're told that we are to praise, so we just get on and do it. That's what we've been told all of our lives. But we don't really look at, why are we doing this? What's the purpose of it? Does it actually impact me? Does it impact God? And we kind of like would say, yes, it does. But it is harder to work out kind of like why and the, you know, a little bit more of the details. So we're going to do a little bit of that this morning anyway. I thought that that might be helpful. But before we do, let me ask you a question. I've already asked it, but I want to go a little bit deeper. Why do you, and I'm talking to you, why do you praise God? Not why are you told to praise God, but why do you praise God? Great. Isn't that gratitude? So yeah. 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 Definitely is. Why does makes you feel better? Honoring him? I think a lot of the time, I do think we get, we do tie up, like even some of the things that were being mentioned, actually they could have been easily brought into Stephen's message on awe, because that's the awe of God. And then we have Julie's message last week, which was gratitude, which is we're just so grateful because he's given us this, he's done this with us, he provides this. And then we've got praise. So what is the difference between them all? Better praise songs. They're just a bit faster, a bit. So, well, actually, I figure that it may be helpful just to unpack a little bit on some of the difference. I think it may help, at least to get on a bit of a platform. And I would have to say, I think it is very hard and potentially impossible to separate praise, gratitude, or worship. I think that they are all part of the same spirit, but there are distinctives between them. And I think I'd say it may be just helpful as we look at this, just have a little, just a little look. I also think there is a progression in them too. One leads to the other and such forth as well. So let's just look at some of this. I didn't put up a verse, sorry, I'm just going to put up a verse before we, this is kind of like a little bit why we do what we do. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him. That is why there is a purpose for us. We are part of God's community so that we may proclaim the mighty, we might praise our God. We might do that because of the things of who he is and his character. So anyway, going back to kind of like the starting point I'm going to talk about is gratitude. Gratitude acknowledges the goodness of God. And it's often for something we have directly benefited from. Like you're grateful, maybe that you've seen a sunset and you're just delighted with the fact that you've seen that, it's uplifted your spirit. It may be that you've seen some financial provision. It may be that you've seen healing. It may be that, it could be anything, just that has brings gratitude into your world and into your life. Sometimes even for a parking space that we've prayed for, right? As well. Praise is often a bit broader than that. It's not only this. I'm just So you're going to have to read between the spaces because there is a lot of lap over. So, but praise often celebrates who God is, as you mentioned, his character often. It's his who he is, his nature, rather than specific things that he may have done for you. And some of those things is he is worthy of praise because that is his character, not because of what necessarily he has done with that, the gratitude, but because of who he is. And he's worthy because of that. It celebrates who God is, his character, his mighty deeds. And it's things like, God, you are faithful in everything that you do. Your mercies know no end. You are a giving God. And it's often corporate as well. It's something that we do together. And it's also something that we choose to do irrespective of our circumstance or provision. So praise is actually something that we do even when we're not grateful. Okay? You see that? So something has happened. You're sick, you've been praying, or you're in financial difficulty and it's a total mess. You're kind of like questioning God and you haven't seen his provision. It's hard to be grateful for something you've not seen breakthrough in yet. But you can still praise a God who is a generous God. You can still praise his character. And it actually, there is a link between us acknowledging that and praising him for that and seeing the very deliverance or the very thing that we're looking for that we can be grateful for as well. Yeah? See a bit of a distinction there? He doesn't need to do anything to be worthy of our praise. It helps, doesn't it? I mean, it's helpful when we see that God does bring all of those things. But I'll come on to this in a minute. You've got to decide either God is faithful or he's not. And you can praise God for his faithfulness if you believe he is faithful. If you don't believe he's faithful, it's very hard to praise or thank him for it. So you've got to actually determine some of these things and work it through. And I will come on to this. You've got an impossible task if you aren't able to draw some lines in the sand and say, God is faithful. I see my circumstance and nothing about my life just now shows that God is faithful to me, but God is faithful. And every Christian has to actually work that through. Worship is deeper. It actually embodies that knowledge. You can't really worship, unless you have made those decisions in your life. If you do not believe that fundamentally God is faithful, he is your provision, he is a healer, if you don't actually fundamentally believe that, it's hard to completely abandon yourself to him if you don't trust him in those areas, isn't it? I mean, with anybody, think of a human being. It's very hard for us to do that. The same with God. Very hard to trust God if we actually don't fundamentally believe that. So that's why it is distinct from gratitude. It has to be distinct from gratitude. It's something we either believe it or it's not. And then our worship comes out of that. Our worship to him is something that's just such a deep conviction in us that God is who he says he is, that his nature is what we believe it is. It is a reality in our lives. And nothing else can happen apart from worship, I think. It's a natural progression to go into a deep place of worship. The problem is, however, that as with a lot of things, our life experiences and what happens on earth and what we see people doing with praise and such forth impacts our view of God. We know that in things like, if we talk about God the Father being a wonderful, you know, God is a loving Father, but our own experience of God, sorry, of our human Father is that God is not, or that our Father is not like that. We project that often onto our Heavenly Father. The same is the case with praise. Just want to show you a little clip for 2 minutes.
National security, and our country has never been so secure thanks to you. You have brought us back from the edge. You have the overwhelming mandate from the American people. You're restoring confidence in government.
Thank you, sir. As we approach Labor Day weekend here, this is just such a great opportunity for us to recognize your leadership as a true champion for working people.
Mr. President, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to work for you. We made this country safe. You open up the economy, you enforce the law, now people can get up and provide for their families and go to work every day and be confident in that. Instead of their eyes, you see a big, beautiful face on a banner in front of the Department of Labor, because you are really the transformational president of the American worker.
Thank you for saving college football, by the way. We're all very grateful. The country just feels different.
You are the one that said, well, let me tell us you have this.
Mr. President, working for this government for you is the greatest honor of my life. I tell it to everybody, and I really feel that way, and I thank you. And there's only one thing I wish for, that that noble committee finally gets its act together and realizes that you are the single finest candidate since the Nobel Peace, this Nobel Award was ever talked about, to receive that award.
Mr. President, it's pretty good to celebrate Labor Day with Builder, who loves labor, who loves the men and women who built this country, the people that sweat, that have great skills.
This is the greatest cabinet working for the greatest president, and I just want to say thank you. I'm having the time of my life working for you.
I'm having the time of my life saying things that degrade me as a man.
Now, there may be some people that actually find that attractive and are okay with that. I mean, in fairness, there obviously are, because a majority of people in that country did vote for that. And so you've got to allow for the fact that that is what people are okay with. But as Christians, and we look at the praise, I must admit, it was more like a do not throw up. Well, yeah, you kind of like, though, think, what is it that we don't like? Is, you know, because we are told to praise God. Why do we find that different? He's not God. He's not God. No, he's not. But why do we find that different? Is it partly because it feels forced? That it feels expected? It feels like their jobs depend on it a little bit? I think that's partly the truth. But let's look at it through a charitable lens. Bear with me. Try and do this with me, okay? For some of you, that may be easier than others. Julie, I'm talking to you there. And Americans with us. Anyway, I won't even go there. But if there is a thing, if someone demands our praise, it leaves a bad taste in our mouth. The same, as I mentioned earlier, can be said about love and many other things. If it's demanded of us, we struggle a little bit, don't we? And our earthly examples cause us to stumble in our walk with God. We talk about a God being a loving father, but if we experience something different, as I mentioned earlier, that challenges us. But also, if we project our disappointments in life on God, then it can be hard to praise him. I think, I'm coming back to that clip in a minute, but I think it can be harder for Christians as we wrestle some of this stuff through. Because if we come to faith in Christ, believing that everything will go well for us once we give our lives to him, then what do we do when reality hits or stuff happens and God doesn't provide? God doesn't come through. If our experience is that, what do we do with that? We've got disappointment. It's hard to praise. And as I said this earlier, and I want to reiterate it, but every Christian has to make a decision on God's character and whether they believe he is fundamentally good, faithful, trustworthy, merciful, loving, giving, worthy, irrespective of the circumstances that we are going through. You have to do that. It will come up again and again in your walk with him if you cannot work that through. And if you cannot then praise him because of that, it will impact everything, your whole walk with God, if you're unable to praise him because your circumstances do not feel like you should praise him. You've got to be able to work this through. So I'm going to move on to the benefits of praising God. So let's just start with this. If you find that you are swayed in your ability to praise God by the circumstances you are going through, then what do you do with this verse? God inhabits the praises of his people. So if you're unable to offer praise to God, and you're wanting to seek God, where are you going to find his presence? Can you see how the enemy will do anything to muck up your idea of praising God? Why would he want you to sort out the things that he wants you to sort out? He doesn't. So why would he want you to be in the presence of God? He doesn't want you to be there. So if you doubt who God is, if you're unable to praise him, it's hard for you to come into his presence. That's where he is. He inhabits the praises of his people. And what about this one? In his presence, there is fullness of joy. If you're unable to come into his presence with praise and thanksgiving, you're unable to inhabit that presence, how's your joy going to change? How's your demeanor going to change if you can't actually do that? In short, if you can't find thankfulness and praise to God in all circumstances, then you will find it very hard to find God in the situation, the very situation you are facing, and nigh impossible to find joy in it if you're not able to praise God. So what is coming out of your mouth? What is coming out in your Facebook posts? What does your giving look like? Do people see you as loving? Are people drawn to you or do they avoid you? All of those things are a great indicator of where you are in relationship to praise. If you're unable to praise God, all of those things will suffer. All of them will. Because there is such a strong correlation between our ability to praise and entering his presence, being thankful, therefore being able to give ourselves, always feeling like I don't have because God isn't the provider. Our praise of him impacts everything that we do. I'm not going to go into it now, but there's all kinds of clinical research into what a grateful heart and a praise does, and what it does to your physical body, what it does to your mental health. You can look that up at your own leisure. But even without that evidence, that empirical research, it stands to reason that gratitude lifts our spirits. Being joyful, being pleased, being thankful does. And what's the verse in Proverbs 17? I'll put up on the screen. A cheerful heart, a heart full of praise, a heart full of gratitude is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. We know that to be true. I don't need empirical evidence just to know that in my own life. We just know it as it's the truth. If you're feeling down about a situation or about things, it impacts your day, it impacts your week, your month, your life. It just does. If you're able to praise, if you're thankful for who God is, it changes your whole demeanor. Now, moving back to the clip, I wanted to let that settle for a minute. To me, it's quite clear that what was going on in that clip was a counterfeit of what God desires from us. The cabinet were heaping praise on the person that they were following, the person they apparently admire and adore, the person whose bidding they were doing and whose kingdom they want to establish. But do you see a correlation there? Am I not doing the same thing when I praise God? I want to see, I believe in that person. I want to see their kingdom established, their rule established. I'm heaping praise on that person. In doing so, it's bringing benefit to me. It's bringing, hopefully, benefit to the kingdom I want to see established. Is there really much difference between what we just saw? Well, yes, but again, some of that is arbitrary. I guess he is worthy of praise, but some people would say, well, so is that person in that situation. You may not, I may not, but that is the reality of it. But that's also why it's a counterfeit. It's very close, but there are a couple of things, nuances, that I think it's going to be really important, just quickly for us to look at before we close. I think, as I mentioned, that some of the things were contrived and probably, possibly, demanded by the leader, by the president there. It seemed to me that they were all sycophants, which is basically, you know, bowing down for just because they had to, because they wanted to, because it was going to enrich their own lives. But as I say, on the charitable side, I wondered how much of my own disdain was down to my own cultural expectations. As in our society, we don't like people bigging themselves up. It's just a cultural thing. We don't do that. You know, we don't like tall poppies. We like cutting them down rather than raising them up. So maybe part of my disdain was because of my own cultural upbringing. I'd say I'm trying to be charitable here. I mean, if you listen to a few months ago, Mike Bartholomaeus over there, he spoke about the whole honor and shame system. And actually, if you look at it, is there much difference? The people paid people to walk in front of them and to bring honor to that person. And that was the culture that Jesus was brought up in and was expected in the day. Really? Is there much difference? We don't like it. There's something that leaves a bad taste. But is it actually wrong? I think yes, but we'll come back to that. But is it? Why is it? What is it we like? What is it we don't like? So that video, I think, may have played well, or may play well, to societies where honour and shame are still prevalent. I think, you know, certain countries would go, oh, that's how a president should be, or that's how we should be towards our leader. But for me, it seems that there was a need in that situation, that the president actually needed praise and acclaim. And as I say, I think it was demanded irrespective of merit. But then again, when I pondered that, is there much different? Does God demand our praise and worship? Well, I have to say, I think the answer is yes. If you look at the scriptures, he does demand it. Okay, so why am I uncomfortable with some aspects of this? Well, this is where I think we can see the difference. When it comes to God, the difference is that God's motive is always pure. He doesn't need our praise for himself. In fact, he doesn't need us. He is fully able to exist and be full without us. But he wants us. He's chosen us. He doesn't need us. It's a desire of his. It doesn't feed his ego. It doesn't feed a deficit in him. It isn't about needing to prove his authority or power. No, as always, it's about what is good for us, what we need. We have been created to praise him. Again, not for his benefit or a lack or a deficiency on his part. We are designed that way, and we can only be complete in him when we sense this. Now, I'm not always a fan of John Piper, but he quotes C.S. Lewis as being influential in his own understanding of praise. And I will quote C.S. Lewis. I think it may help you too. The most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought of it in terms of compliment, approval, or the giving of honor. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise unless, sometimes even if, shyness or the fear of boring others is deliberately brought in to check it. The world rings with praise. Lovers praising their mistresses, readers their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game. Praise of weather, wines, dishes, actors, motors, horses, colleagues, or colleges, countries, historical personages, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles, even sometimes politicians or scholars. I had not noticed either that just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising it. Isn't she lovely? Isn't it glorious? Don't you think that's magnificent? The psalmists, in telling everyone to praise God, are doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about. My whole, more general difficulty about the praise of God depended on my absurdly denying to us as regard the supremely valuable, what we delight to do, what indeed we can't help doing about everything else we value. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it is expressed. I think that's a beautiful statement, and it helps me. And in fairness to Piper, he does go on to summarize the revelation he got. And he says, do you see where reading this led me? Every time God commanded me to praise him for his glory, he was commanding me to bring my pleasure in him to its fullest delight. That's what he was commanding. My pleasure in God is not complete unless it overflows in praise. And my praise of God is not glorifying to God unless it is the overflow of pleasure in him. God is not an egomaniac when he commands me to praise him. He's acting in love because my praising him is the apex of my pleasure in him. I think that's the difference between the counterfeit of what we saw and what is in God. So to sum up, last paragraph. The truth is, God has designed us to praise him. Our relationship with him is not consummated without it. We are not fulfilled or complete without the ability to praise our God, even in absence of experience. But it's part of the journey, only part of the journey. Gratitude, irrespective of our circumstances, leads to praise. Praise leads to worship in all we are, in our whole being. A life of worship leads to abundance of life in all that we are, that not only lasts for eternity, but flows out to all and whom we touch. Let's pray. Lord, we choose to praise you. Lord, some of us have had difficult lives, difficult seasons, difficult walks with you, and are currently going through things. And Lord, there are things that we battle to get over and to face. But Lord, we choose to praise and worship you because you are worthy of praise. Your character, your nature, your very being is all-giving. Lord, we're sorry where we put the things that we see on our own, we project onto you the things that we have experienced or see in other humans. But Lord, we want to learn from you. Lord, we want to praise you. Lord, not because you need our praise, but because of the fact that it makes us complete. Help us, Lord, in our praise of you. In your name, amen. I need the...